Namaste. So as we try to become conscious, becoming conscious is one of the first thing to prepare for yoga. Even before you, of course, if you are very fortunate to have a conscious aspiration, wonderful. That shows its sign of a developed psychic being. A developed psychic being is very conscious. Why it is here, why it has come, but not everybody has that, either the development or is conscious of the psychic being. But yet, the Divine Mother knows and she has pulled. So now the thing is ki one becomes conscious and yet it is so difficult. You can't align. You may be aware that this is the motive. I should not act under this motive. I should not act this way. And yet one acts that way, right? So that is because there is these three layers in us. As I said, one is the outer being. Outer being is what generally we called as he is such so and so. But actually we are referring to the outer being. It's the outer mind, outer vital, outer physical, which are running in grooves of habit. Those habits may come from parents, from society, from our own past evolution, from the books we have read, the kind of training we have received. And we have inculcated them, we have absorbed them. So these habits we keep on repeating mechanically. Like somebody who has seen anger at house becomes prone to anger. You can't blame the person for that. Some people are by nature very impatient and they get very angry at the slightest tiffle. So there are various reasons. We'll not go into it. That is the outer being. Yoga primarily takes place in the inner being. It's happening in another ground. So it's like, imagine you have a house. There is that outer part. And you have the, after opening the door, you have the inner house. So the outer part of the house, the veranda, if you want to call it, all the dust, dirt tends to come here, come there. And if I live more and more in the outer part, I'll have to take bath more frequently because, But when one goes into the inner being, it's a different world. That's the time when one becomes conscious. Suddenly there is a surge of aspiration, a love, a kind of thought, idea comes into us. Oh no, I must dedicate my life to this. This is so wonderful. No, these ideas come. Then again one is drawn into the outer. Then when one is in the outer, then one begins to lose all this and says, oh, life is so, it's so dry, it's so hot, it's so humid. Because that's how the outer being reacts. So this shift between the inner and outer continues for some time. And one of the discoveries that we make is that there is a division. After some time we experience a division. The outer being and its movement and the inner being. Now, inner being itself is not so easy, because inner being can open to all kinds of dark suggestions. Inner being can open to the highest suggestions. It can open to the universal consciousness. Outer being is largely tied to the world forces at play in the immediate circumstances. So supposing there is a procession going by. So the outer being jumps, oh, there is some dhol nagada, let me go and see. It may even begin to participate. That, oh, somebody is dancing, when olden times, marriage procession or some Ganpati Bappa, and everybody begins to dance, it is the outer being. But the inner being may have no affiliation to that. Inner being may quietly adore Ganpati and even feel sorry for the way things are happening. So there is a division between two parts. In yoga, we begin to live more and more within. So we don't begin to, first step is before aligning, stop aligning to the 100 forces of the world. Form an individuality. Don't be driven by, that's what often this subject comes up. Somebody says, "Arey, we must go there. Ah, let's go." No. Step back. So mother, the practice mother gives is, first step is step back. Don't instantly react based on the instant input. So senses give a knock. Oh, there is a new food festival, let's go, let's go. Oh, there is this program in Auroville, let's go, let's go. No. So step back, see whether you should take a decision. Oh, my friend is going, therefore I should go. Oh, I received this message, therefore I should go. First step is to step back. Before speaking, before any reaction, before eating, before walking, before deciding anything, step back. So as we learn to step back, and the next thing we have to do is see whether this action that I was going to take, maybe just a fraction of a second before you have spoken the words, a fraction of a second before you were going to take a decision or do something, then you see whether this action, these words, this decision that I was going to take is in consonance with what my true need is. Now, I am not bringing the word aspiration because it's a very big word. What my true? If you are conscious of aspiration, then it's very simple. But is this what I am here for? For instance, one may see that this action is what I would do anywhere else. So, am I really going to repeat what I was doing elsewhere? Or something else? So, slowly you will discover a division between two parts of the being. So, live more and more by stepping back and then act from within outwards. So, in the inner being means the inner mind. Don't rush at the leap of thought. Outer mind thinks, but how it thinks based on the sensory input. Oh, this has happened, like an accident. Oh, this happened. Oh, why it happened? Oh my God, so sad. Now, all these reactions are the outer mind's habitual reaction. Somebody has fallen. Oh, that person, he was such a nice person. He's so sad that the person has died. All these are entirely outer mind's habitual reaction. So we should step back and see what really death is. What really is an accident about. Then we'll begin to see the meaning and purpose of the divine will operating in every circumstance. So don't be driven by the instant thought. 2 minute Maggie masala. Suddenly a thought comes. Equally, don't be driven by the instant leap of the heart. Meaning thereby that when we meet people, oh, such a wonderful person. Probably I have seen some reflection of mine. Or maybe it's just an attraction. Maybe it's just a kind of affinity. There are affinities, no doubt about it. And so I am leaping. Now, if I have leaped, because with feelings it becomes, unless you do a kind of austerity of turning everything to the divine, it may happen. And feelings, if they go out of control, they become very berserk, because it's a, generally civilization develops by holding back these feelings. And so when they are let loose, they can create an avalanche. Doesn't matter. If you are driven in the avalanche, keep remembering God. Mother, keep referring to mother. I'm just giving one example. Don't be just driven by that. Always keep a part which is separate. If not awake, at least don't get so fully into it that you lose yourself in the flow. So going by the flow, be careful that you don't lose yourself in the flow, because one may drown. Sometimes the flow is too strong and carries us. Fine. But always try to keep oriented. Where am I going? Where am I going? Where am I going? Is this where I want to go? Is this where I want to be? So, normally it helps if the mind, a part of the mind can get separated. Normally. It is big help. Or some part of the inner being is other than the movement. And so, in a way, you are never fully into it. And some people don't like it. But a yogi has to do that. He can be fully into only what the divine will has impelled. So always learn to separate the inner vital, pushing us towards all kinds of things, including things which may seem like work of God. Oh, mother has appointed me, mother wants me to do this. People go all over doing all kinds of things. So always step back. Think 100 times. Keep offering till you get the sure guidance. I know about myself, before speaking, so many people were suggesting, wanting. 100 times, so many times I kept asking mother, so many suggestions came, series of experiences came, but still I didn't want to just push into action, because what she wants, sometimes ambition can come in through veiled doors, all kinds of things can come in. So wait, and then when you are impelled, you are sure, then act, and then don't have to worry about it, and you'll get enough indication. Then similarly with the physical consciousness. Immediately it reacts. Oh, it is so hot. Temperature, nowadays you know how much is the temperature? 40. So 40 seems like 46. Because all the time you are hearing it. Physical consciousness. Step back. Body is fine. It's just sweating a little. You can take a bath. So body also learns. Oh, I had too much food. Oh, this food was so tasteless. Fine, the body has taken its assimilating. You have enjoyed the food, very good. Enjoy a tasty food. But don't keep on. So this is how to learn to step back within is the path. And slowly when you step back, then a deeper consciousness will begin to emerge. And you'll see how your outer and the inner are two very different things. Your inner wanted to go in one way, but the outer dragged you in another way. So how to impose the inner on the outer? Then comes turn still inward. From the inner being, one can turn toward the soul. If one is living in the outer, it's actually next to impossible. Everything can happen by God's grace. That's why first step is live in the inner being. When one begins to live in the inner being, the sign is there is peace. Because you are not driven by, you are not restless. Outer being is very restless. Outer vital, inner vital in the same person. Same vital. Outwardly will be very restless. Inwardly will be like a luminous servitor of the divine. Look at Hanumanji. So very often when people feel that their vital is restless, it's the outer vital. They have a great capacity inside to serve the divine. But outwardly it is seeming restless. So if you shift the consciousness, slowly the divine will prepare it. See, Hanuman does same thing so wonderfully and so fast, but without restlessness. Because now what the outer vital was trying to achieve restlessly can be achieved in a much better way with much greater perfection. So the inner being realizes it and therefore it begins to turn still inward toward the inmost being, which is the psychic being. Not that it has to turn toward the psychic being, where is my psychic? You can do like that. But a better way is to turn toward the divine and refer that I am having this outer urge. I want to rush and do this. But my inner being is having another movement. I mean, you don't have to talk to mother like my inner being out of me. Something within me is holding me. It is saying be careful. Or it is saying that ask the mother. Or it wants to be clear. So offer that whole thing to the mother. When you offer, maybe you will get no indication. Or maybe you will get an indication which is veiled. Doesn't matter. You keep referring. One day, because you continue to refer, indications will begin to come. Not that they were wanting earlier. By referring, even if you don't get the indication, you have handed it over to the divine. And now the divine slowly begins to nurture you. You don't realize. But you want to do one thing, you end up doing another. You wanted one result and some other result come. Why? Because now divine is slowly taking charge. So always when we refer to the divine, doesn't mean we'll get an instant guidance, we'll sit for meditation, suddenly there'll be an aha phenomena. You may have, you may not have, and there are thousands of things which may happen. But by the very fact of remembering, offering and consecration, you have connected yourself with the divine. It's like Arjun on the chariot has told Shri Krishna, please take care. After that he is going through the battlefield. It's not that every arrow he's shooting he's saying, Krishna, is it okay? Shall I do this? No, he's not doing that. So when we use the word refer to the divine, remember and offer, it means slowly a background consciousness develops wherein you are aware somewhere deep within that the divine is with you. And your life is given to him. And whenever you have a moment of respite, Ma, I am yours. Take care of this. So slowly there will be a bond, contact, then bond, then interchange, and more the divine will begin to flow into the inner and invade the outer being. Then even outwardly, the thoughts that will come, the feelings that will arise, will be impelled by the divine. If that can happen, that's it. Sri Aurobindo describes that in House of the Spirit and the New Creation. When he discovered that even in the outer being there are some layers, subconscious things are coming up suddenly and they are tickling the nervous system, grains of sand to make truth slip in. Then the last transformation of the outer being, he describes, before he speaks of then his soul was all in front like a sea, He says, he tore desire up from its bleeding roots and offered to the gods the vacant place. That comes towards the end. When you ultimately say, I don't want to be under any kind of desire. Very often in life, desire is and ego are mixed even with that divine work. For example, and the mother gives this very beautifully, she says in agenda. For example, mother has given divine work means if she has directly told you do this, it's of course divine work. Let's say in the ashram setting, mother actually said, you go and teach in the school. Is there any doubt it's divine work? No doubt about it. But I may go there and develop this feeling that, I am someone special. Because mother has appointed me to be a teacher. And then the mind may say, and mother has said, you know what? That this is going to be the highest seat of knowledge. Therefore, I am teaching in the most elite university of the world. You're right, but your attitude is not right. Because now you have started feeling egoistic about it. And then what happens tomorrow if she says, look here, my child, why don't you work in the dining room? Something I must have done wrong. Because what happened? Now your mind had this inequality. That this is a special work. Dining room is a shudra wala kaam. It was your mind's defective understanding which mother showed you to change. But when one is driven by ego, desire, ambition, mother's work I must do, but I start doing it by my own ideas. For instance, I must serve the mother. So how should I serve it? Okay, let me make pamphlets and let me, you know, I have seen people holding quizzes on Sri Aurobindo and the mother. This is not how she wants us. This is yogic work. It's a spiritual work. Yeah, people do it. That's not what she wants, that people through a quiz come to know about. It's a serious work. Let's not belittle it to the religious work that is done everywhere in the world. So, this is how I may be appointed by the divine to do the work, and yet ego, ambition and desire may mix, sometimes terribly so. Because to do the divine work is like culmination of ambition. Can you imagine a greater ambition? That thought can stick to you, so you have to remove it. So this is how one has to become more and more conscious, see what is not aligned. So slowly, alignment means if you remove desire, ego and ambition, these three dangerous fellows, then automatically it's very easy for nature to be aligned. But to detect them is very difficult. Ego will find loopholes. No, of course, I am mother's child, even that can become. Mother's instrument. I am ashramite. I belong to an elite group of people who are pursuing the highest. I was reading conversation other day on some other group. So somebody suddenly wrote, who is John Galt? Ayn Rand's famous book, you know, the Atlas Shrugged or Fountainhead, one of them, where they make a whole group and where it's an extremely egoistic book. But it appeals at a point of time that there are people who are involved in some very big thing. Be humble. Be ready to be the most ordinary. It's not that one has to do extraordinary things. Even the most ordinary thing one has to do in the extraordinary state, which is connection with the divine. That's all that is required. So then life becomes very simple, not strenuous. Very simple, very happy, luminously open to the mother. All who have walked this path have gone this way. Each one of them could have done so many things, would have gone out and been remarked like a yogi, but they lived so beautifully, all of them, Pavitrada, Nalnida, Amrita, Champaklalji. So this is the basic thing. This division takes place. Keep on offering. By offering, remove, keep removing ego, ambition, desire, these three fellows. There are others, fear, dangerous alley of falsehood. Falsehood, detect it. Lying to oneself. So many things, 101. But at least the core is ego, desire and ambition. These are the dangerous alleys. So if you remove it, you will see that automatically you will get enlightened. Because then there is nothing which you want to do for your own personal benefit or personal purposes, or even to get name or some recognition from anyone. Okay. Jema.